make of this Bible passage. I think some people think that Jesus is showing off or something like that. I think others just don't get it because they can't conceive of it. And so it is worth just pondering on this passage in the context of what's gone before. And for the sake of our home groups and our receiving of God's word, I'll try and take us carefully through the text in its contexts. Because we see in verse 45, just been read to us, that they want us to look at the context. Immediately, it says, Jesus made his disciples get into the boat and go on ahead. Immediately. So there's a connection to what has gone before, the feeding of the 5,000 plus. So these two seem to go together as Mark presents them to us. It's when the reason he sent them across in the boat and stayed himself was because he wanted to say farewell to the 5,000 plus. These things happened cheek by jowl. And it seems that Jesus was manufacturing this situation. He was the one that made them row across the lake. I don't know, maybe they were looking at the weather and thinking, do we want to row across when those clouds are coming across? But Jesus says, yep, you get in the boat and off you go. And Jesus dismissed the crowd, 5,000 plus, and then, after saying farewell to them, 46, he went up on the mountain to pray. There are some significant things that are said as this story is introduced. Jesus prayed and then he waited. 47, when evening came, the boat was out on the sea and he was alone on the land. And then comes the account of Jesus walking on the water. When he saw that they were straining at the oars against an adverse wind, he came towards them early in the morning, walking on the sea. He intended to pass them by, but when they saw him walking on the sea, they thought it was a ghost and cried out, for they all saw him and were terrified. But immediately he spoke to them and said, take heart, it's I, don't be afraid. Then he got into the boat with them, and the wind ceased, and they were utterly astounded. Well, one thing we can make of this is that Jesus is showing himself to be able to tell nature what to do. Wind, waves, and gravity all seem to be under his authority. And Jesus is showing himself, isn't he? Lord of the natural order. And that is what is so terrifying for the disciples, as we're told. Now, we might acknowledge that the power of nature can be terrifying. Certainly, some of the stuff recently, the tornadoes in North America, the earthquakes in Asia, and other things. But what it's saying in this passage, the example of the disciples, is that acknowledging Jesus Christ as able to take charge of nature, that was terrifying. Because it made them think, who is he? Made them ask, who is Jesus? Which is exactly what Jesus wanted them to be asking. In this part of Mark's gospel, Jesus has been with them for many months and he wants them to recognize him for who he claims to be. So he's saying, come on, who am I? And through chapters 6, 7, and 8, these chapters we're looking at over 3 months, there is an increasing frustration on Jesus' part as he wants them to get it. And by this stage, he is trying to make things clearer. By the end of chapter 8, he's so frustrated, he puts it straight. Who do you say that I am? But that's the link the link with the feeding of the 5,000 plus. Can you see it in verse 52? For they did not understand about the loaves, but their hearts were hardened. Jesus was disappointed at their response to the feeding of the 5,000. And so the walking on water is some sort of extra explanation. Come on, says Jesus. I want you to understand. He wants them to understand about the feeding of the 5,000 plus. He wants them to understand about the walking across water because he wants them to understand who he is. Have you ever played Who Am I? I think we used to play it with our children. So here we go. This is for parents of young children. Good man, Pat. Who am I? Oh, my goodness, that was bad, wasn't it? I was always gratified that there was a vicar in Postman Pat. And so that was the Reverend Timms. Okay. This should... I'm hoping to be more successful in this part of the game. Never in the field of human history. Who am I? Yeah, good, good. Who? So anyway, it's a bit like that. It's a bit like that with Jesus at this stage of his ministry. He is playing Who Am I? Only it's not a game. Because he wants them to recognize who he is. And they don't get it yet. And so it's a long game. And at this stage, Jesus is very patient. Come on, come on, who am I? Bread in the wilderness for thousands. Who am I? Walking across the sea. Make the link with the bread. Who am I? Going up the mountain to pray. Who am I? Oh dear, it's as bad as the Reverend Timms one, isn't it? Who is Jesus showing himself to be? Moses, the prophet like Moses. You know, at the time of Moses, there was a prophecy. Let's look at it. If you've got your Bibles out, Deuteronomy chapter 18. First to get there, shout out the page number, please. 193 in the Old Testament, that's it. Just over the page, the top of 194. Yep, there we go. So this is Moses speaking, the book of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 18, verse 15, Moses says, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your own people. You shall heed such a prophet." And then he comes back to it again in verse 18, a few lines down. "The Lord replied to me, 'I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their own people. I will put my words in the mouth of the prophet who shall speak to them everything that I command.'" So the Old Testament people of God had been promised a prophet like Moses who would speak all of the word of the Lord. And so Jesus is making a claim to these Old Testament people in the region of Galilee that he is the long-promised prophet like Moses who will speak the words of God, everything that the Lord wants to say. Jesus will say, "Who am I?" says Jesus. Indeed, in doing these things in the way that he did them, he was making a bigger claim than that as well, wasn't he? As well as being the prophet like Moses, who would speak God's word, he was claiming to be God speaking God's word. And we see that claim getting stronger through these chapters as well. Today, I don't know if you're aware, in the church calendar, it's called Trinity Sunday. Now, the Trinity is something which even some Christians find hard to grasp, but really, it's just a logical outcome of the acknowledgement that Jesus is God, who he claimed to be. Jesus shows himself Lord of the wind and the waves. Jesus shows himself supreme over gravity. He's not limited by the laws of nature. He made them. He is over them. Jesus claimed to be God. And so we are called to take his claim seriously. And if he is, we worship him as God. And we hear, last week was Pentecost, that the Holy Spirit whom he sent is also God. His Spirit, Jesus' Spirit, the Spirit of God. And so we have God, the Holy Trinity. It's how God has revealed himself, if we take Jesus' claims seriously. Let's finish the passage. Verses 53 to 56. When they crossed over, they came to land at Gennesaret and moored the boat. When they got out of the boat, people at once recognized him and rushed about that whole region and began to bring the sick on mats to wherever they heard he was. And wherever he went, into villages or cities or farms, they laid the sick in the marketplaces and begged him that they might touch even the fringe of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed. This is another aspect of Jesus' claim to be the Lord. And now back on the Jewish side of the lake, he was recognized as the healer because that was part of the ministry he'd been doing in the earlier weeks and months. And so they brought their sick. And this is something that crops up again and again in the Bible, but I'll finish with a comment to help clarify what Jesus is doing at this point in his ministry. Because earlier in chapter 6, we see Jesus training his disciples to go out two by two as apostles and preach and heal and deliver people from evil influences. But it's worth noting that he didn't train them to multiply loaves and walk on water. Because they were actions which Jesus used to help them grasp who he was. Now, we are Christians and the Bible encourages us to pray for people's healing. But it does not say we are to pray for 5 loaves to turn into 5,000. And it doesn't say we are to go on water walking courses. Because these are Jesus' way of saying to all these people, come on, who am I? And that is the challenge to us as well. Jesus says, come on, who am I? Let's pray. Lord, we are amazed by what you did and we hear your call. Please, Lord, help us not to be those whose hearts are hardened. Please help us to be those who take your claims seriously. Help us, Lord, we pray. Amen.